Hey, thank you. You can have a seat. Man, let's give our worship team a great hand today. That was awesome. That was fantastic. And we're not done worshiping. We'll be doing that a little bit more today. But hey, it is awesome to be all here together like this. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Right. And I've been telling you, I've been praying to God for great weather. I forgot to pray for some cloud cover. But maybe, I see a little bit over there, I don't know. Our service today will go about 3 hours, so, man, no, it won't, I promise you. I know you're cooking out there. But hey, it's great to all be here today. And I would like to just encourage you to just look around for a minute. Take a moment, just take a moment and look around in at this field today. And just take that in. Would you just look at it? Yeah. This is the first time that I am aware that our church has been together like this all at the same time, all in one place. And it's just pretty awesome. I think the Lord has given us an incredibly good day today, and we need to be thankful for that. But on this field out here today, we have one entire church family who just happens to meet in two separate locations. There is the Reardon campus. Can I hear from everybody who's been at the Reardon campus? Yeah. And then there is the Highlands campus. Can I hear everybody from the Highlands campus? So like I said, right here in this field, we have two campuses, one church. And between these two campuses, we have five worship services, soon to be seven. Did you get the memo? Next week, when you come to church, there's going to be seven services, not five. So we'll have the Saturday night at 5 at the Reardon campus. And then at each of our two locations on Sunday mornings, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. So please be making that change to your calendar. But for now, we have five services meeting in two locations over the course of 2 days. And I point that out because with the setup of our church family, it is really challenging to gauge just how much our church has grown over the years. And if you just look around, like I said a moment ago, you can see that growth and you can see what the Lord has done. If you look around and you can see and know that our God is good. If you look around and look, you can see that God is doing something very special in our midst. And I just want you to know today, and I hope you see it as I do, that it is good for us to be together in one place like we are today. In our 50-year history as a church family, we have gone by two different names. The first 42 years of our church's history, we were known as the Bella Vista Christian Church. And now for the last 8 years, we have been known by our current name, New Life Christian Church. But what I want to point out in saying that is that what has never changed in our entire 50-year history as a church family is our commitment to God's Word. That has been utmost important since day one. Now, speaking of day one of our church family, the official day one of our church, as I understand it, is to be September 29th, 1974. And as it has been shared with me, and as I've tried to dig into the history of our church family, that at the very first worship service, there were around 10 people that showed up. I've got conflicting reports. Some said 9, some say 11. So I say 10. There was about 10 that showed up on that first day, that first worship service all those years ago. They met for the first time right across the street from our Reardon campus over at Reardon Hall. And among the names of those first attenders there were Winston and Margaret Carter, Jerry and Gayla Gibbs, Bill and Lola Craig. And then shortly after that, there'd be other names that would be deeply entrenched in the history of our church, like Jackie and Lou Hubble and others. A lot of people in our church, a lot of people to give credit to. I'm happy to share with you today that my understanding is, and I haven't seen her yet, but we actually have someone here gathered with us today who was here on the very first worship service of our church family. Was Lola Craig able to make it with us today? Right there she is. Can you guys give her a big right there? Wave. Right there. Lola was here on day one, and her and her husband and her family. And I had a chance to visit with Lola the other day, and we just had a wonderful conversation. I want you to know that she and her family moved to Bella Vista, Arkansas 50 years ago to be a part of this effort of planting this church. That is why they came, to be a part of this. She told me the other day, she said, we were happy as can be in our home in Sarcoxie, Missouri. We had just built our home. Life was going good. And starting a new church in Bella Vista, Arkansas was not on their radar. And she told me, and I may not get all the details right. You can ask her about it when we're done here today. But she said that she was having several nights in a row of restlessness, inability to sleep, didn't know where this was coming from. She would later say she knew that was God stirring in her spirit about something. And then her husband came home, and he had had a conversation with, I understand, Bob Lytle, First Christian Church in Carthage, Missouri, about a new church work in Bella Vista, that a church needs to be started down there. And her husband came home and said, I think that's what we're supposed to do. And at that moment, if I'm retelling it correctly, she said, a peace came over me like you wouldn't believe. The restlessness went away. She said, I slept like a baby that night, and they never looked back. Shortly after, they were bringing their trailer down here to Bella Vista. They were spending more time with Winston and Margaret Carter, and they were meeting together. And soon after, a church was born. On that first day, there were 10 people or so, 11, somewhere in there. And she said, the next week, the church doubled. And the week after that, it just kept growing and growing what God was doing. Lola, I bet you and Bill never in your wildest dreams thought 50 years later this was going to be happening here in Bella Vista. I bet you never thought you were launching something that would turn out to be able to fill a park like this. But God is amazing. And I just want to thank you and your family for your faithfulness and being willing to step out on faith and move to Bella Vista, relocate your whole life, and be a part of getting this gathering started. I would say that probably only in heaven will we truly understand the full impact of what those decisions have meant here in Arkansas, around the world, and we'll see it in heaven. I can't wait. There's a lot of people that had a lot to do with starting our church. And in those early years that I can tell you with full confidence, this church would not be here today with them. And they may not have been here on day one, but they have been here so long, we just assume they have been here since day one. And we're going to honor some of them here in a minute. But at this time, I would like to ask my wife if she would come up here and join me on stage. In case you didn't know, this is my wife, Kirsten. She has been my partner in crime for 25 years. And so I want her to come up here and just hang out with me for a minute as we introduce some of these guests. And I'll tell you a little story real quick, because I can do that because I have the microphone. But I want to tell you a story. Some of you know this already, but when we moved to Bella Vista 10 years ago, we, like a lot of you, never had Arkansas on the radar, all right? Anybody amen that? Anybody here today going, I never thought we'd be, that was us, never thought. In fact, I tell people, we used to lay in bed at night together and dream about all the places God would take our lives. Not once did Arkansas ever enter those dreams. But when it was getting, when the elders reached out to me back in 2014, we started conversations, and all of that for many months led to August of 2014, and the elders invited me to be the pastor here, and I told them I would do it as long as the church overwhelmingly approves of me to come. So all of that came together on a Sunday in August, and she was having massive apprehension about moving to Arkansas, and I had committed, if you want me, I'll come. I'll commit to come. And so we're there at church that morning, and I'm getting ready to stand up and preach what is known as my trial sermon. This is where the whole church would evaluate the future on one 30-minute sermon, all right? And so 40 minutes. And so, we're doing the worship, and then we're probably one song away from me being up, and I look over at my wife. Tears are pouring down her cheeks. These were not happy tears. These were, I can't believe we're doing this tears. Can you relate? And it was in that moment I had this, with all the compassion and with all the grace and mercy that I could muster in that moment, I leaned over and I said these words, "Suck it up right now, they're all watching." Anyway, I will tell you now, that day went great, and my wife loves it here, and you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, except maybe the Caribbean or the Bahamas or whatever. But anyway, I wanted her to come up, and I wanted to share that story. That was kind of our introduction to the church, and God has been so, so good to our family and our ministry here. But we're just one link in the chain of a long legacy of faithfulness in our church family. Before I invite some of our next guests to the stage, I want to let you know that in New Life's 50-year history, there have only been 5 preaching ministers here at the church. Don Evans was the name of the very first pastor that was hired after the launch of this church. And Don ministered here for about 17 or 18 years, as I understand it. Don passed away a couple of years ago, and so did his wife. But I was very privileged to know Don personally, count him as a friend and a brother. When I was a student at Ozark Christian College, Don had retired from Bella Vista. He had moved to Joppa, Missouri, and he was working at the college. And specifically, he was working with a lot of the students that would go out and preach, I being one of those. And so Don would come and visit the churches that I preached at. He would give me pointers and talk about life experiences. And I really, really appreciated what was started there. And then a little bit more of an intertwining of this church's history. Don and his wife moved back to Bella Vista. After that, my folks bought their house in Joplin. So our lives have kind of been like this. But a little over 20 years ago, Don Evans called me on the phone. And he asked me, he said, "Joe, what are you doing these days?" And I had just moved to Kansas City, Missouri to start a new ministry there. And I said, "I just moved to Kansas City, just getting going." And on the other end of the phone, he goes, "Oh, man." And I said, "What's the matter?" And he said these words to me, I've never forgotten. It's over 20 years ago. He said, "Well, you know, we are a needed pastor. And I just knew that you're the right guy for Bella Vista." And I said, "Arkansas?" Little did I know, 10 years later, that's where I'd be. And I've thought about that often over the years. I think God was using Don even all those years ago to start planting seeds about what was to be and what was to come. And I think God used Don even all those years ago through the history of this church to nudge me this way. I've deeply appreciated Don. After Don, the church hired Dick Hogan. And Dick Hogan was the pastor here for about 10 years. And like Don, Dick has now passed away a couple of years ago. I did not know Dick very well. I did get to spend some time with him after I came here. He was always kind, gracious to me, encouraging me. And our paths would cross from time to time because he still lived in the area. And then after Dick Hogan, the church hired Lee McClanathan and his wife, Laura Lee. They moved here from Illinois. And sadly, Lee had a stroke and could not continue. I think his ministry got cut way too short. But he recovered, and he and Laura Lee stayed right here in the church for years. And God used them to bless this church and to minister here and to continue to build relationships. A few years after that, Lee wrote a very powerful book about his journey, how God has prospered him through his medical stuff. And that book has been a blessing to many, many people. And a couple years after I got here, Lee and Laura Lee moved back to Illinois to do what I think you guys called at the time, grandparent ministry. And moved back to, anybody doing grandparent ministry right now? That's what they did. Now, after Lee McClanathan, the church hired Ron Carter. And Ron and Pam, his wife, moved here from California, where they had been serving a church for many years. And Ron and Pam, I want to let you know, have been connected with the New Life family since day one. And that is because Ron's parents, the Carters, were charter members of our church family, and our church would not be here today without the Carter family. And so something that Lola had reminded me this week, I said, is it your belief that the church would not be here today without the Carters? And she says, amen. So Ron and Pam coming here is like the ministry here, the church coming full circle. So it was a tremendous blessing. And I've got a lot of Ron and Pam stories that if I had time, I'd tell you all about them. And maybe I'll tell you privately. But Ron and Pam ministered here for about 9 or 10 years. And maybe I should clarify that if you knew Ron, he did not retire. He rewired, and he was clear about that. We're not having a retirement party. We're having a rewirement party. And so he, even in his 70s, he went on, Ron did, to work with Pioneer Bible Translators. And then a few years later, they moved back to Nevada to be closer to family. And sadly, Ron passed away in June of 2021. I know he'd have loved to be here and enjoy this moment today. So I could tell you a whole lot more than I am, but I just want you to know today, on a historic day like today, that New Life Christian Church has had a good long legacy of faithfulness to God's word and longevity in the pulpit. And all of that was established long before I ever got here. And that torch was passed to me about 10 years ago. I feel very honored and privileged to carry it and to be a part of that link and that chain of this incredible, incredible history. So what I would like to do is I would like to invite Lee and Laura Lee McClanathan to the front, and I'd like to invite Pam Carter to the stage with me. And would you give them a huge New Life welcome as they make their way up here? Yep. As they're making their way up here, I'll tell you a quick story about Ron. Ron was very instrumental in my coming to Bella Vista. And I remember he called me one day, and I had not met him before. And he said, hey, I'm going to be in Kansas City tomorrow. Meet me for lunch. And I said, all right. And if you knew Ron, it was more of a command than a request. And I said, all right, barbecue. So I meet Ron at Kansas City Joe's Barbecue. And we sit down. And he says, all right, I want to know, are you here because you're really interested in moving to Arkansas, or are you here for free barbecue? I love that story. That was Ron. He was very direct. I love that story. I tell it every time I can. I was there for free barbecue, but I was also interested in the church. Pam, come on over here. Hey, guys, this is Pam Carter. Would you give her another big round of applause? And I know Ron's a dear brother who's celebrating with Jesus, and I know he would much rather be in heaven than here. Amen? Amen. He wouldn't come back for this. He wouldn't leave heaven for this. But if he were still alive, he would love this moment. Yeah. And he and Pam loved you all, loved you deeply. And so I'm just really honored to have you here today.
Thank you.
And then this is Lee and Laura Lee, and you guys have served so faithfully all these years. And as I was saying, Lee's ministry got cut a little bit short because of a stroke. But if you want to talk to somebody who can take something that was hard and turn it into a tremendous blessing to many people, this is the guy to talk to right here. And I'm sure he would love for you to buy his book too. So I'll give you a little plug there. But it's a great book. It's a great journey. And I'll just say this about all of them. When I came here, they were still in the church, and then Ron and Pam were still in the church, and sometimes preachers can get a little bit antsy when the previous ministers stay in the church, okay? And Lee, I don't know if you and I ever had that conversation, but I know Ron's like, hey, are you cool if I stay in the church? And Ron and I had started to build a relationship. I said, yeah, absolutely. And I've had people ask me over the years, especially those first 3 years when I was here, that all of us were here. And I'd have friends and others pull me aside and like, what's it like serving in the church where all of your predecessors are still there? And because normally that doesn't work out so good. And I just said, I'm going to tell you something. I can't speak about anybody else's experiences, but I can tell you that mine have been tremendous. And there's two men and two families in this church that made sure that they went before me to clear the road, to cheerlead, to encourage, and to hold me up. And that was Lee and Ron, Pam and Laura Lee. So I thank you guys, and I want you to know, and I don't say this lightly, so much of the success that we're having as a church today is because of these two families who went before. So they deserve honor today, and I hope you would praise them today. And I'm good. And thank you guys for being up here. They would love to visit with you guys before you go home, but thank you guys for being here today. It's an honor. There are some other folks in our presence today that I'd like to honor briefly, one of whom could not be here, unfortunately, today for health reasons. She is one of those ladies that was not here on day one, but almost on day one. And so I just lump her in with the start of this church. But Naomi Ryan, and would you give her a big cheer? She's got some family right here down front. Now, my understanding is that Naomi is watching online. We are broadcasting right now. So could we, with our loudest New Life cheer, let Naomi hear it from us how thankful we are for her and her husband, Jim, for being here all those years. Patty Boone, would you wave right there? This is Patty. Can you guys see her? She and her family weren't here. Go like this, Patty, real big right here. She was not here on day one, but her family's another one that have been around for so long, we just assume they've been here for day one. Patty, thank you for your many, many years of faithfulness to our church family. Can we give praise to Patty? I want to let you know that recently I have been shared with a number of videos from our church's history, milestones in our church, and I came across a video of the building of our current auditorium at the Reardon campus. This was built in the mid-1980s. So somebody went around and took video of the construction. And I thought, that's me 40 years ago, because I did the same thing at the Highlands campus. So maybe 40 years from now, 30 years from now, somebody will be doing that. Well, that's Pastor Joe, and he's long gone, but he took video. Here it is. I was watching all these videos, and in those videos, was the entire service, the very first service that the Bella Vista Christian Church had in the new auditorium. And you should have seen the excitement on Don Evans' face and all the people. It was like the Highlands campus all over again. And I thought, here we are all these decades later, and it's the same thing. It's just a different generation, and it was just awesome. One thing that Don did, I watched the whole service, and it was really interesting because Don stood up and he goes, I need to make sure that nobody sits in the side pews. We've been told they're not bolted down and we don't want you to get hurt. I'm like, I've made those announcements before. One thing that Don did in that service, he said, this is around 1985, 1986. They're all excited. You could feel the enthusiasm coming off this video. He said, all right. Now it's a much smaller group, obviously, but he said, do we have any first-time visitors here today? Would you stand up and introduce yourself? I thought, what a great idea. Do we have any first-time guests today that would like to stand up? And no, I'm kidding, we're not going to do that. There is a collective woo. But that enthusiasm captured my heart. And I'll tell you, when you're doing something for God, there's enthusiasm that comes with that. There are things that tie us together. And the one thing that Don made very clear in that service is why they built that building. They built it to honor the Lord and to win people to Christ. And that was very clear in his message on that first Sunday. Friends, there are so many people that I could honor today It would take a long time, but there are a few others that I would like to honor. And to do that, I'm going to ask all of you to take a minute and stand to your feet. Would you do this for me real quick? You need to stretch anyway. I just want you to see something very special about our gathering today. It's no secret that our church family has experienced some wonderful growth over the years. And there are people who have been here for decades and decades, very faithfully serving the Lord. And I'm going to kind of highlight some of those people, and I'm going to do this exercise to do it. So if you have been in the church for 5 years or less, will you sit down? So that means if you've been here over 5 years, you keep standing. Now, a lot of you sat down. That's pretty remarkable about what God has done in the last few years. Now, if you've been a part of our church 10 years or less, go ahead and have a seat. So if you're still standing, you've been here over 10 years. Now, we're getting fewer and fewer in number, but could you all just kind of do this with your hands? I don't want you to get lost. If you've been here over 10 years, all the way to the back, I see you. Now, if you've been a part of New Life Christian Church for 15 years or less, if you've been over here 15 years or more, stay standing, but 15 years or less, have a seat. All right, here's a big one. If you've been here 20 years or less, sit down. That means everybody still standing has been here over 20 years. Raise your hands. Let's see you. So we've got some right down here in front. We've got a few others. Let's raise our hands. Let's do this. I don't want to miss anybody. 20 years. All right, we're going to keep going. If you have been a part of our church 25 years or less, sit down. I don't think we lost anybody. Maybe one. All right. If you've been a part of the New Life family, formerly Bella Vista Christian, for 30 years or less, have a seat. So you're still standing if you've been here at least 30 years. Do you see our you see them? See over here? These are folks that have stuck through thick or thin. All right, here comes another one. 35 years or less. All right, we're dropping two over here. Better luck next year. No, I'm kidding. Who do we still got standing? I see here. We got a few more. All right, a few over here. 40 years or less, 40. Let's give all those that have been here all that time a big praise. All right, 45 years or less. Still got some. Praise God. Thank you. You guys can all have a seat. Thank you so much. You know, I don't know if it'd be possible today to summarize 50 years of ministry with just a few thoughts. I would imagine every last person here that calls New Life their home could probably share more than just a few thoughts about what this church family has meant to their lives. I think you too, no matter how long you've been here, would have probably a struggle to condense it in just a few words. So maybe we can all simply agree with a phrase. As we look back on these 50 years, can we all just agree in unity with this? God has been very good to our church family. And he gets all the praise and all the glories. And friends, as we look out on the next 50 years of our church family, if he takes his time in his return and he gives us 50 more years, then I would pray and hope that the church that gathers of our 100th year anniversary, maybe right here in this very field, will be saying the exact same things that they were saying in the 70s that we're saying in 2024, and they'll say many years from now that God is good, God gets all the glory, and we praise him for everything. There's three things that I want to share with you, and then I'm going to be done today. Three words of encouragement on this 50th anniversary. And I would say that if we as a church family continue to do these three things really well, we will continue to be successful and God will continue to bless our church family. And the first one is this. We should always be quick to say these words. Look what God is doing. Friends, that's something we should just roll off of our lips so quickly and so easily. Let us never forget today, on this very special day, that it is God who gets all the glory for this. All glory goes to God. And I pray these prayers often, and I prayed it today. God, when we're done here today, let there be no mistake. That is you, the one, that will take the glory from this field, not anybody else. You are the one. So we give our best to him because our best is for his glory. Our best is so that others will see him, not us. When something incredible happens among our church family, when somebody comes to believe in Christ, when there is joy to be shared, when there is restoration taking place, when life change is happening in our midst, and there's a great movement of God in our church family, whatever it may be, let our church be the ones to say, this is God who's doing it. God gets the glory for these things. Look what he is doing. And I hope and pray that that never leaves our church family. I hope and pray that we will always be a church that has a Psalm 118 mentality. I've shared this with you a number of times, but in the 118th Psalm, there is an eruption of praise that goes up to God for his deliverance of his people. Now listen to these verses. May they be our verses for the next 50 years. Says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Is that the kind of celebration that we're having today, church? I believe it should be. So it is not hard to look past back in the last 50 years and say, the Lord has done this. Let us rejoice. Shouts of joy ring out from this place. Victory resounds for the Lord. And I look around, even in this gathering today, and I am reminded that the Lord has done mighty, mighty, mighty things. That's the first thing. Here's the second. That if we're going to continue to be successful as a church family for the next 50 years, then this must take place. We must unapologetically hold a high view of God's word and firmly anchor ourselves into its teachings. We will not be successful if we ever pull anchor from God's word. Like so many churches are doing, we will not be one of them. And for our success, it will be that. We've got to be people of God's word. And we're in trouble if we ever move off of that. I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 4, is that famous part in Jesus' ministry where he goes out into the wilderness for 40 days and he's fasting and he's hungry. And at the end of that 40 days, the enemy comes up and he tests him. Do you remember what the test was? He says, Jesus, turn these stones into bread. And we all know that that would have been easy for Jesus to do that. But he was not going to play these temptation games with the devil. And he was not going to let the devil have any glory from what was going on in his life. And so Jesus rebuked him with these words. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's a lot happening in the wilderness between Jesus and Satan. But his point was very clear. Spiritual nourishment, the nourishment that really matters, comes from God's words. We can never forget that, friends. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In the Old Testament, God told Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything that was written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. We have to always give praise to God. We have to be people of his word. Here's the third thing that if we're going to be successful for another 50 years, this must happen. We must always see disciple making as the core mission of the church. You know, as I was watching some of those old videos from years ago about those various projects, construction projects, groundbreaking ceremonies, and all of that, there was a common theme through everybody that spoke, that we're doing this for evangelistic reasons. We are doing this to make disciples. Again, Don Evans, on that very first Sunday in the new auditorium, he made it clear that this building was to be about the Great Commission of Jesus. I watched another video, and it was a groundbreaking of another construction project back in around 2008, 2009. Ron Carter was leading that service, and he stood before the entire church, and he talked about making disciples, that this work is about the evangelism and the Great Commission. I know that if I could ever locate videos from the 1970s and how the church was during that decade, I promise you that there would have been a conversation about making disciples. Friends, we can never take our eyes off of what really matters. Jesus' words, Matthew 28, 18. He said, "All authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I cannot even put into words for you today how excited I am about what God is preparing for our church family in the years ahead, specifically as it relates to disciple making. Next weekend, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled programming as a church. Well, not so regularly. We're adding more services. But we're going to get back to our conversation about disciple making and where all this is heading and what steps we're going to take as a church to help people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. And not just here in Northwest Arkansas, but I'm talking about across our country and around our world, literally to the ends of the earth. I'm happy that we have another guest with us today, all the way from India. I would like Pastor Elijah to jump up here real fast with me, would you? Everybody give Pastor Elijah a big hand. Come on up here. This is Pastor Elijah, and a lot of you don't know him just yet, but you will get to know him in the future. It was just a God thing that he was able to be here with us today. Several on our missions team and others in the church have built this relationship with him over the years. Some have even been to his church in India and been a part of that work firsthand. And we're really proud that as a church family, we get to partner with you. You're going to be hearing a lot more about him. But when we talk about making disciples, not just locally, but around the world, there are going to be some faces that we want to associate with that endeavor. And this is one of them. Would you give Pastor Elijah just a big round of applause?
Praise the Lord. Greetings from India. Thank you.
And I told him afterwards, I said, "If you're okay with 2,000 people coming up and asking you questions, is that okay?"
Yes.
And he said, "That's fine." So you come hunt him down during our tailgate. You ask a lot of questions. He'd love to tell you all about his ministry. Let's welcome Pastor Elijah with us today. So friends, the way I see it, as we look to the future, I don't see how we can fail as a church as long as we are always quick to point all glory to God and away from ourselves. We unapologetically maintain a high view of God's word, firmly anchor ourselves to his teachings, which enables us to trust and follow Jesus, and always see disciple making as the core mission of our church. This is only possible because God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Can we let that text move us into our time of communion? Would you please take out the communion that you picked up on your way here today? And if you would, please, thinking about Jesus hanging on the cross, will you peel back that layer, revealing the bread, and let us today, as one large gathering of New Life family, can we together as one remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross by eating this bread. And then again, as one church family, let's peel back that layer revealing the grape juice. And let's all drink this today in remembrance of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Without that, none of us would have a reason to gather today, and we would have no hope of eternal life because our sins would not be forgiven. So let's drink and let's remember that sacrifice today. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could be here in this place today, that we could honor you and worship you, that we could look backwards and praise you, and we can look forward and give you honor in advance. But Lord, most importantly, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins, opened heaven's doors so that we can walk through them and spend eternity with you. So Lord, we commit this day on our 50th anniversary that we will never forget. Not one day in the life of this congregation will we ever forget that you died for us. And you did that because you loved us. And that we have this brand new hope of a whole brand new life because of that. Lord, we are forever changed. Lord, may you work through us to change the rest of our community and to reach to the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel. So Lord, can we just take as many people with us to heaven as humanly possible? So Lord, all praise and honor and glory to you today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, as we are starting to come to a close of our service, I would like to invite the entire staff of our church to come down to the front. And I'd like for them to join me right here at the front. And I would also like to ask all of the elders if they would come to the front as well. And I would also like to ask that if you have served as an elder in this church family at any point in its church's history, I would love for you to come down here as well. Because our church is made up of current elders, former elders, pastors, staff. So if you are a current elder or staff, or if you've been an elder here before, would love for you to come down at this time. And we are going to have a moment of prayer. And as kind of a show of unity as a church family about what the next 50 years are going to look like, I would like to ask all of you who are out there, if you would just kind of hold your hands out like this, as if like a child standing in front of their father. And I would just like this posture, if you're comfortable to be this way as we pray today. We're going to wait for everybody has a chance to come on down here. What you're seeing in front of you is a combination of our staff, our elders, former elders. Every single person up here is playing and has played and continues to play a very, very important role in our church family. I just look at some of you guys up here and I think about many of the meetings we have had together and decisions that I've made together and all the good things that we can point to. Just seeing some of you guys up here brings back great memories. All right. I'd like to offer a word of prayer and just collectively as a church family, let's just give honor to God and let's commit the next 50 years solely unto Him and for His glory. Would you pray together? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we stand on this field today with the leaders out front of our church, as we stand here today in unity and solidarity, about your goodness and what you have done. We stand as a testimony of how you've cared for us and provided for us and how you've changed lives. And I just pray, Lord, that as we look back over the last 50 years, we have all kinds of glory to give to you. But now, Lord, as we look forward to the next 50 years, that, Lord, should you take your time in returning, may every one of those years be filled with disciple making. May they be filled with an everlasting commitment to obeying your words and a high view of Scripture. Lord, may they be filled with joy and growth and life change and reconciliation and restoration. Lord, may glory to your name always rise up from the New Life family long after all of us here at the front are gone and are replaced with new leaders. Lord, I pray that this stand as a long-lasting legacy, a continuing one, another link in the chain of your glory until your Son returns. Lord, I would pray that as our world continues to seem to drift farther and farther and farther away from you, may we be a church family that drifts closer and closer and closer to you at the same time. Lord, I pray that there will always be a group of Christians in Bella Vista, Arkansas, and in Gravatt, and in the surrounding areas, and in southern Missouri. Lord, may there always be a nucleus of believers right here at New Life who will unashamedly and unapologetically stand on your word and preach it boldly. Lord, we also pray that you continue to bless our church family. Lord, we ask for you to prosper the mission. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.